Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the vine and we are the branches. Amen. Again, our sermon text are those words of our Savior. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. So far our text. Let us pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Set us apart from this world. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Fellow redeemed in Christ, people have been growing grapes for a very long time. The first record of wine is when Noah drank after the flood, after he had come to Ararat. Since earliest times, the growing of grapes has been an important kind of agriculture for humanity. Growing them is pretty labor-intensive, though, and so much so that those who grew grapes employed vine dressers, people whose job it was just to tend to the vines and make sure that they were properly pruned and supported and picked properly and so on, so that an abundant crop could grow. Now, I don't have much experience in vine dressing, and I'm guessing most of you don't either. So I looked up just a simple list of things to do if you're growing grapes. In the first couple of years, the vine should not be allowed to produce fruit because the roots need to grow strong enough to support the extra weight of fruit. And two, pruning is important. The canes will only produce fruit one time. Prune annually when vines are dormant before the buds start to swell, but when winter damage is apparent. Remove at least 90% of the previous season's growth. In the first year, cut back all but a few buds, then select two strong canes and cut the rest back. In the second year, prune back all the canes and leave a couple of buds on each of the arms. Remove flower clusters as they form. Sounds pretty complicated to me, especially if you're doing this in a vineyard that has hundreds of these vines growing. But this was the work of a vine dresser all during the year. Now, the disciples were not vine dressers, but they lived in a culture where they would have understood a bit of this, and they would have understood Jesus just as we will this morning. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. God the Father has in mind that his Son produce abundant fruit. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. In these words, Jesus is talking to believers, branches who are attached to him, who is the vine. He's not talking to those who are not attached to him. And this is important. Because he says, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in me, in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So there's really no such thing as a branch of the vine that does not grow from the vine. By nature, we are branched off from Adam, the first human being, the first one who sinned. We've all seen family trees, and maybe you've done some genealogy work to trace it back. And if it were possible and you had perfect knowledge, you could trace it all the way back to our first parents, Adam and Eve, because we're branches from him. And that means we're born not producing the fruit that Jesus is talking about. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. These are the works of the old Adam: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's what the scriptures say. Unless we think to ourselves, well, I don't have a problem with adultery, or I'm not a drunk, the Lord reminds us that he sees the heart, that he sees lust as adultery and hatred as murder and selfishness as idolatry and so on. Even our thoughts before the all-seeing Lord are sinful. And James reminds us that breaking even one part of the law of God is breaking the whole of it. As we are by nature, we're worse off than dead branches already decaying on the ground. We're branches of a wild vine that produces sour grapes and rotten fruit, worse than dead, taking up the land, using up the ground, and hardly fit to return to it. As we are by nature, we have no hope of producing good fruit for the vine dresser, nor do we even care. We're able to do nothing but what that wild old Adam does: produce fruit in keeping with that dying wild old root of his. But the Father is a master vine dresser, and not wanting anyone to perish, but all to have everlasting life, he has taken us from that wild root of old Adam, and he's grafted us onto the branch, onto the vine, onto the root of Jesse, the Nazarene, which means the shoot, the true vine, Jesus Christ. In your baptism, God cut you from Adam's root, and he washed you, and he made you clean, and he connected you to Christ. So that instead of receiving your life from Adam, who is dying, you receive it now from Christ. You are already clean, Jesus says, because of the word that he has spoken to you. Think about who you're grafted onto now. He has no sin. He is perfect God from perfect God, yet a man born of Mary. And he doesn't die. It's true that death once held him for 3 days, but that was only because it was necessary to prove that he really had died for us. That he died to take away our sins and take them down into the grave. That it really was finished, just as he had said. And then with that complete, we know what he did. He cast off death forever on the third day. And the scriptures say you were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you being dead and your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, with Jesus, that is, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Now, it's true, some continue to produce sour grapes. Some die on the vine because, well, not because the true vine has stopped providing for them, but because they refuse him. Some choose to pamper themselves and rather do that than produce for him.
Some will choose envy and strife and malice and dissensions and the like because they'd rather nurse the grudge than receive from the grudgeless one and be compelled by thankfulness to truly forgive. For some, lust is the siren song that they won't turn away from. If anyone does not abide in me, Jesus says, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. But he also says, whoever abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. It is your new nature. Now that you are grafted into Christ, it is your new nature to produce fruit in keeping with his word. And the fruits of the Spirit are these: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. There's no law against these because love is the fulfillment of the law. Connected to Christ, your faith is strengthened by his word in you so that you do truly love. It's not just the outward appearance. Something has changed in your heart. You really do love God. And you desire his will. You want to do it. You want to produce fruit for him. It can't be any other way, for faith apart from works is dead. In this way, the very things that you might think to ask your heavenly Father for are the very things that he also desires. Think about that. When you ask that his will be done, it always will be done. And in this way, his good and gracious will is made manifest to you and to the people around you. That's what it means to glorify God. One of the prayers that we Christians will always have in this world is that we bear abundant fruit. In the law, we recognize that old Adam is still in us. We see our weakness every time we set out to do something good and we end up doing the evil that we hate, just like St. Paul. Sometimes it's in what we've left undone in favor of something that's more pleasant to us. But take heart. Jesus said, every branch that does bear fruit, the vine dresser prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Now, if you've ever been around plants to tend them, you know that you have to prune bushes and trees and vines. And it seems a little paradoxical because you cut apart the plant so that it grows better. Doesn't make sense for the human organism, but for plants, it makes perfect sense. And sometimes I think we project a little bit when we're lopping off the branches from this beautiful bush and we think, would I want someone to chop off my finger or toes so that I'll grow better? And we feel bad for the plant, but obviously, it's different for them. They need to be pruned. And spiritually, it's true for us. We need to be pruned as well. Sometimes it comes in the form of suffering. Sometimes deprivation. Sometimes grieving. So many of the unpleasant events in our lives turn out to be this pruning of the Lord so that we produce abundant good fruit. Fellow redeemed, it's all too easy for us to cut ourselves off from the source of life and chase after other stuff. Many do that every Sunday morning. Some secretly cut themselves off from the source of life, but they keep up appearances. The Lord is not fooled. Many have just had enough of the hardships of this life, and they point that blaming finger at God as Adam did. Let us not grow from that wild old Adam, but instead from Christ. Our life sustaining vine, let us grow from him. And let us not grow weary of doing good, but instead seek something that something that looks, we don't want to grow weary in doing real good and seek after something that just looks good to us. We want to desire the real good. And let us rejoice that the great vine dresser renews us and prunes us back so that we might grow in his kingdom, the sweet fruit of the Spirit, and serve him and our fellow Christians in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, and bring glory to the name of our Father in heaven above. May we always remember that Jesus is the true vine, and we are the branches that have been grafted into him unto eternal life. This isn't just good news. This is grape news. Sorry, that was really bad. Please arise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.